At this point in the story, that Luke is telling us, the story of Jesus' ministry, things have gotten pretty intense. There's been a lot going on. I think the disciples probably feel like they're on some kind of theme park ride where it is full of dashes and turns and sharp corners. In chapter 7, we've just read about Jesus healing a Roman centurion's slave, raising a mother's only son from the dead, along with a synagogue leader's daughter. And that's all exciting. I'm sure that that people were quite impressed and the disciples were thrilled. But on the other side of that, Jesus has also been rebuking Pharisees and leaders of the day. So he's not exactly making a lot of friends in high places. Now, chapter 8, which I just read from today, begins with this boat trip. And on that boat trip, there's a storm. Well, Jesus calms the water of that storm, but it's important to know that storm is so fierce that these seasoned boatmen, these fishermen, are huddled in the back in a puddle of fear. Now, not long after the storm passes, they put to shore in this Gerasene region of Galilee. And here they encounter this man who Luke tells us is possessed by demons, plural. One commentator I read wrote that we could say the condition of the man possessed by demons is one of melancholy. And I thought, melancholy? He seems more than just perpetually sad. I imagine he was plagued with more than bouts of antisocial behavior and wild machinations of fear and hatred and manic depressive tendencies, which cause convulsions and screaming and attempts at self-mutilation. This is not melancholy. This is something else altogether. He seems to be broken in almost every way possible. And I am sure today we would find a diagnosis for him in the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that psychologists use to diagnose mental illness. The poor man is unhinged. He has fled from his home and any semblance of community to take up a kind of ghoulish, macabre, zombie-like, undead existence, living among the rocks, the rock-hewn graves on the Gerasene hillside. And we are told that because he cries out night and day and gashes himself with stones, well, the people of the village are convinced he is disturbed because no one in their right mind would spend the night among the dead in a place of graves. So in the boat Jesus and his disciples are in comes ashore, and the man sees Jesus. He falls down in front of him, crying out in terror, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" I think that it is interesting to note that demons seem to know who Jesus is. Now, the man doesn't know it yet, but it is through this encounter with the living Christ that his life will forever be changed. In spite of the demons' call to leave him alone, Jesus has been moved to action. His love for this man makes him intervene in his life, commanding that the unclean spirits come out. And then an argument begins between not one, but this legion of demons inhabiting the man's life, until finally Jesus relents and allows them to enter a herd of pigs grazing on the hillside above. And as a result, the swine are swept up in a frenzy of madness, and they are driven off a cliff into the water where all of the swine and the demons drown in the sea below them. And it isn't much later at all that we find this man, dressed and clearly in his right mind, sitting directly at the feet of Jesus, having abandoned the tortured life he was living. But when news of the seaside events reaches town, the townspeople's reaction is not what we would expect. Or maybe it is what we would expect, but it's certainly not what we would hope it would be. because the townspeople are afraid. And instead of celebrating this miracle of redemption and freedom, they beg Jesus to leave. See, what they have failed to see is the changed life that this man has, that Jesus has brought to them through this person who was lost but is now found. It doesn't matter. No matter what they want is for Jesus to move on and do whatever it is he does someplace else, leaving them to live their quiet, comfortable, unchallenged lives, unchallenged by anything new or miraculous. They like things just the way they are. And Jesus agrees. He and the disciples get back in the boat and leave. Can you imagine? Here is a man who can work miracles and bring healing and control demons right there in their midst, and they close their hearts and their minds to him because they are afraid of what he offers. Well, as you might imagine, the man formerly known as Legion is uncertain of what to do or how to behave in this newly restored life he has discovered. So he begs Jesus to let him come along. Scripture doesn't tell us why he wanted to go, but we can imagine a few reasons. It could have been from a sense of deep gratitude to Jesus. He wanted to follow him and serve him because of what Jesus had done for him, and that's a good reason. Or it could have been more from a desire to move on and leave this sordid, shameful, scary chapter of his life behind. It might also have been because of the townspeople's reaction. They were afraid of Jesus. What would they do to him when Jesus left? The man might truly be abandoned. The legions of demons had vanished, but perhaps it would be even worse for the townspeople to just leave him alone. Well, whatever his reasons are, Jesus has another plan for him altogether. Jesus tells him to go home. Go to your family and friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion for you. Go home? Go back to the people who know me, who know everything about me, about everything I've ever done, the ones who've seen me at my absolute worst. How could Jesus ask him to go and be reminded of this terrible time for the rest of his life, this life of shame and now guilt and sorrow over what he was? Because Jesus knows that even in those feelings of abandonment, this man has the opportunity to truly abandon and leave behind that previous life by living a new life right there in front of those who knew him at his worst. How easy it would be for this newly healed man to forget his past and head out with Jesus to new adventures far away from the ugly and oppressive life he's lived in that place with those people. Easy. Yes, but probably not healthy. Making the choice to stay and accept these temporary feelings of abandonment and loneliness, though difficult, will make way for the discovery of a new life. It will be hard. It may be as great a challenge as living with the demons. But discovering new life in the midst of the old is a central dynamic in the Christian faith. The goodness of God through Jesus will give him a new life, but in the same place. Jesus tells him to stay and tell everyone how good God has been to him, and in so doing, reminding himself every day of how blessed he is. Jesus intervenes into all of our lives. We may not always recognize it, but he's always there. And often he meets us in the darkest, deepest places of our shame and guilt, bringing us wholeness and completeness, filling us with grace and hope. But Jesus' intervention doesn't always remove us from difficult situations. What Jesus' healing power does is empower us to live in faithfulness and conviction in the midst of whatever our life brings us, the ordinary and familiar, and the often painful and hurtful. He's there in the midst of work-home imbalances, or in the midst of past failures and painful memories, so that we can transform them with the promised help and comfort of the Lord. To leave would be easier, but to return is both affirming and redemptive and reconciling. It is this former demoniac's change of heart, not a change of scenery, that serves to be a living witness to the power of God to make us whole again, to make what has been useless useful again, to take what has been destructive and make it healing and life-giving. It is our heart's conversion and our changed lives that serve as the most powerful witness to who God is and what God is like and what God's love can and will do in our lives. And not just for us, but for everyone we meet. Amen.